We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin, Rachel Scanlon, Worldwide Dykes for Life. Hey, two dykes, two dykes, two dykes, one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. Yeah, two dykes, two dykes.
Okay, listen to this.
Yeah.
I'm sitting around my house, obviously always trying to think of new comedic things just to like bring to the world because we're not doing stand-up. And I'm like, how do I get my voice heard? Mm-hmm. Usually just by my partner.
Yeah.
Who will remain anonymous. It's a phrase that I cannot believe doesn't exist in the world.
Okay.
And I'm honored with a capital O.
Dude.
Whatever. To bring it to light.
Okay.
I did tweet it.
Did anybody?
No one liked it. So I had to bring it here to you.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, and the phrase is very American.
Yeah.
I'm a snack out with my crack out. The amount of joy that this phrase has brought me.
Snack out with my crack out.
I say it. I've said it at least 1,000 times.
Now, what it means is you're going to have a couple snacks. You're going to eat snacks.
No, a couple, please. You're going to snack hard.
Okay, you're going to snack hard with your ass crack.
Out. It's kind of like, like jam out with my clam out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rock out with my cock out.
Yeah.
We snack know. Out with my crack out. I mean, it's right fucking there. I cannot believe that no one's thought of this yet. It's genius. It's fun. It rhymes. It's quick. It sends a message. It's relatable. It's what we all want to do.
Okay.
And I feel like it brings me so much joy, and I would like to share it with you, my best friend / lover, and not the other way around.
I love it. I think it's a great phrase.
Try it. Try it out.
After you leave.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to snack out with my crack out.
That's hot. You do love to snack. You're like a little snacky bitch.
I did. I snacked right before we got in here.
Every time I like go to the bathroom and come back out, you're just snacking on something. I'm like, where did you even find something crunchy again? You're always crunching. You're always snacking out with your crack out.
I am.
Oh, I love that. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy you're here.
Prove it.
I'm just, I feel like I am.
You always make me a nice treat when I'm here. So that does feel accurate.
I'm legs wide open.
For real.
If Creed was singing, it would be legs wide open.
With legs wide open. Yes. Yeah, wow. He really hits that O in open. He puts O's all in it.
Do you remember the music video for that
song? No, what is it like?
He's on like a peak, a mountain peak.
No.
But the sky is like dark, like red almost. And he's like,
fucking hell. Why are they allowed to do anything? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a fucking bop.
It is.
They no disrespect.
Creed has a couple.
Creed slaps. I don't care who you slap. You know what? Creed slaps. Hinder
slaps. Three Doors Down.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fucking slappers.
Incredible work.
No notes on the music. I do have notes, however, on your attitude and your music videos. Yes. The music's perfect. Don't change a goddamn thing about it. Wait, huh? Do you remember when we were in Portland?
Yes.
We're sitting in Portland. I do think both of us were kind of under the weather. So we had a really chill, like, reading our books in our, like, they rented us a 4-bedroom mansion for no reason. And we just, like, checked our Instagram or whatever, and we realized that, like, Daughtry's wife is like a full-on stan.
Yeah, and she followed us. So we
couldn't stop singing
Daughtry.
And that was so, just walking through the streets of Portland.
And you, with a guitar, started playing Daughtry to me.
What's that one song we were singing? Wait, it's coming to me, it's coming to me, it's coming to me. It's not over. I'm standing and I'm fanning in the ground. Holy fuck.
Is this copywritten? The answer is yes.
We'll ask her.
Welcome to Two Dykes and a Mic.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your co-bitch, Rachel McScanlon.
And I am the other co-bitch, Mackenzie McScortort.
I love doing this shit with you. And if you're listening, I want you to know, just to paint you a picture, I am wearing tight leggings, no tops.
Yes.
And Mackenzie.
Completely nude.
Yep. Great. That's all.
We like to do this nude I feel it's more freeing.
Well, it's we're more vulnerable. We're more honest. We're more true to form.
Yeah.
We can't really hide behind like sweaters and clothing. You know, I took off my contacts. We're here raw.
So I want to start this episode off with an Ask a Dyke. I want to mix it up today.
Yeah, mix her the hell up. Listen, I don't give a shit. I'm about to get snack complacent. Out with my crack out.
Yeah, I don't want to get like in a routine.
No, and I don't want our listeners just sitting there like, oh, and then they're going to do good, 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 good. Like, you know what? Keep them
on their
queer toes.
So this week we have an Ask a Dyke. It says, all right, I have a dilemma, AKA an Ask a Dyke.
Bring it.
I'm currently working as a second job at a Starbucks.
Hot.
Being put on the drive-thru can be difficult because so many women around my age will come through and they will have the sexiest voices and it drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really can't help it and I really am only wondering if anyone else has this problem or if they ran into this as well or if I'm just a creep. Is it creepy?
No.
I just want to know how to handle situations like this, especially at my job.
This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're working a side hustle at Starbucks, local restaurant, and they have...
I wouldn't call Starbucks a restaurant.
I would. They have bagels.
All right.
If you have a bagel, you're a restaurant. Next question.
All right. You heard the Ask a Dyke.
Okay. So she's in the drive-thru and she's hearing over and over again all these sexy, sexy women's voices. I think, okay. So when you're at your job, I've also worked a very similar job.
Mm-hmm.
Hotties come in, hotties go out.
Yeah.
Also, let me just say there is a very, you know, these aren't your coworkers. So
yeah.
I think that you obviously have to have a level of professionalism because you are at work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that like, it is very sweet to be told a compliment.
Yeah.
In general.
I love
especially,
that.
I do fully believe that women should be complimenting each other more.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the queer community, we're kind of scared to flirt with each other. And in general, also in like the straight population, I think women are worried if they compliment each other that it's going to be misconstrued. And a lot of times women have a very hard time accepting compliments. It like rigmaroles into like... other shit.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I don't know.
So yeah. I really am a fan of in the wild to strangers, to people that you do not know.
Mm-hmm.
If you observe something that you like, that you can compliment it in a way that doesn't necessarily have to be flirting and it doesn't have to go anywhere else. It's just, I noticed this. I like your hair. I noticed this. I like your voice. And then the other person says, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
And then boom, there's some more positivity in your day.
So practice complimenting people and getting used to quickly noticing things you like and complimenting.
Yeah. And then it doesn't have to go anywhere. So I wouldn't also say that you're a creep, but you know, you don't have to in the drive-thru be like, wow, your voice makes me want to fuck you.
Yeah, obviously.
Even though, sure, of course it does.
Yeah.
But they don't have to know that. So yeah, noticing something very quickly, just saying, wow, I really like that. You're the sound of your voice.
Yeah. Or
you have a great voice.
You have a great voice. That's great. Yeah.
You have a great voice.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an amazing compliment and something that will brighten someone's day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drop that on them, it's not necessarily sexual.
No.
And if they want to pick it up and give you a compliment back, then it opens the door for more.
And what a great compliment, because like I'm just putting myself in the shoes of somebody who's ordering at the drive-thru. Like the person at the drive-thru listens to voices all day.
Yeah.
And to be told like, wow, my voice resonated with them, that would make me feel so great.
Yes.
I would feel so good about myself. And I wouldn't think like, oh no, now here I go, have to like take this to an, like, it's not sexual. And I think it is like such a sweet fucking thing. So if it was me, I would definitely like do your job, do the transaction, get the order, tell them the amount. And then when they come through to the other side to pick up their drink, just very short and sweetly be like, I really like your voice.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. Boom. Also watch your tips go up.
Now I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that there's the golden rule of do not hit on a woman at her job.
Yeah.
That's a very like no brainer. Don't hit on a woman at her job. It's very uncomfortable. It's also just like not cool.
Right.
Especially
you're not
there your
to
server.
Be, yeah. Looked at.
Don't be gross. Do you think it's the exact, does it go for the other way around? You don't want to hit on a customer.
I can only speak from personal experience. I've worked at multiple service industry jobs. I hit on every one of my customers because they don't see it coming.
Yeah.
I cannot help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it directly translates to more tips.
Okay.
And also it covers up for mistakes. I wasn't a very good server.
Yeah.
So like, and for the restaurant that I worked at for a while, they had comment cards that you would have to drop with your check on every single table.
That sucks.
The amount of times that people would give me like, it would be a 1 to 5 rating. Two questions. Number one, how was your service? 1 to 5, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. Mm-hmm. Question number two, how did you like your server? Mm-hmm. 1 being the worst, 5 being the best.
Did you get a 5 on number two all the time?
Every time, number two was a 5 and number one was a 1. I would say 70% of mine were well, the service was shit. The food showed up in my lap.
Yeah.
And it was cold in the wrong order. But man, she was really nice. Yeah. That was all of them. So I would say, if you are the one, as long as there's not like any weird power dynamics where you're like, I can overpower this person who's in the draft. You can also read a situation. Like sometimes people seem like they're not really
in the mood for this.
In the mood, they're like, it's so early. I'm having a coffee. Like I didn't, but there is something also very sweet and innocent about just noticing something, right? There's a difference
giving
a compliment of something you've noticed and appreciate versus like you're sexualizing something. You're turning a very innocuous situation into somebody feeling like now they owe you something.
Agreed.
So I think, making sure that, you know, you're not crossing anyone's boundaries when you're harmlessly noticing and saying, wow, this is good. You're adding positivity in the world.
Yeah.
You're not making somebody feel like now they're stuck in a position where they can't really leave their table and now they're like performing a thing.
Yeah, don't make it weird. The very best thing is just to give a compliment. And see where it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Light, small, easy.
If this is an interaction that's happening more and more, I'm going to come in next week. I'm not going to go through the drive-thru.
Oh, my God. And I see you inside and I say, wow, it looks like the voice matches the drapes.
I was going to say voice matches the ass. Voice matching the drapes.
We shouldn't. You know, we're not good at these types of questions. Not. Because I am very much for like...
You know what? No, I disagree. Your answer was right on point. But... when we do these examples, it's stupid.
Obviously read the room, but I think it's totally okay to add more positivity in the world.
Are you ready for some
gay news? Is it about Taylor Swift coming out?
Dude, she didn't come out.
That's not what I heard on fucking Twitter. I heard everyone on Twitter saying Taylor Swift came out.
Okay, so there has been a couple updates. There's new conspiracy theories with Taylor Swift. There always is.
Well, she's got a lot of fucking gayness around her coming out of her gay mouth.
She came out with, she redid the song Love Story.
How does that one go?
Close my eyes in the Juliet.
Yeah, that's okay, it. Great.
So she came out with that when she redid the photo, right? And in the photo, she is wearing the shirt that Romeo wore in the music video.
Oh, boy. So, meaning she is
singing
playing the part
of Romeo.
Which means that the love song is about a girl.
Correct. So that is one.
I hate her.
Conspiracy theory.
I hate her so much.
She also, this week, Zoe Kravitz was photographed on a magazine cover.
Correct? I love Zoe Kravitz and her dad.
And she just got, she's recently divorced, Zoe Kravitz.
R.I.P.
She was photographed during COVID. And what happened is, the photographer said that he was actually directing Taylor Swift who took the photos because Taylor Swift has been in her pod. So
wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
There is now a conspiracy theory that they are actually quarantining together.
Zoe Kravitz is in the same pod with Taylor Gay Swift?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
And Zoe Kravitz is an open bisexual. So there are a lot of theories now that these two are actually quarantining together.
Why would they be quarantining together?
Because they're banging hard.
They're banging so hard. That's the love story.
They're scissoring.
Juliet.
Yeah.
There are still, like, most straight people are just like, nothing to see here.
Well, that's what's crazy to me with the Taylor Swift stuff is it is, at this point, so blatant.
Gratuitous.
It is. Like, you can't be more obvious. She's literally wearing Romeo's shirt. Everything that she sings about is about a queer romance. Mm-hmm. So I just can't believe when people are like, oh, Taylor Swift?
It's like
the straightest woman alive?
Girl.
It baffles me.
Yeah.
But she keeps being more blatant because it is going over people's heads.
That's insane.
And it's really only the queer community that's catching on and still half of them don't believe it.
I do think it's going to happen in this year where she comes out.
I agree. So, I do think it's...
And we've been on the case for years.
Yeah.
So...
I think the more that she's redoing the albums, the more she's going to...
Gayify it?
I was going to say gayify, yeah. We're going to be in a Taylor Swift gaytopia soon. In other gay news. Soccer stars Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris announced that they've adopted a baby daughter. So they shared a photo of their daughter, Sloane Phillips, with the world and the internet this last week. Krieger said that the adoption was the best Valentine's gift that they had ever received. So the two of them posted photos of the newborn on Instagram, and their daughter's name is Sloane Phillips.
Cute.
And everyone fell in love. It's just, they're, look at them.
Stop it.
They're
they
so
did it.
Fucking cute.
Oh, I love seeing queer people making queer families.
It's just really, really cute. So they said, our promise to you, we promise Sloane will be loved every single day by us, our friends and our family. We promise to give her tools to live a happy, successful life of inclusivity and support. So they posted this with, it was a message to the birth mom. Pretty much being like, we're going to take care of her and, you know, raise her.
That's really cute.
It's really, really beautiful. I love seeing two lesbians start a family together.
I love that.
It's magical.
So
that has been
gay news. Also, I did just look it up because I would like to tell you, Mackenzie, what Miley said on Lizzo's video.
Please.
Because Miley has a mullet and Lizzo was like, wow, should I get a mullet?
Yeah.
And then
Miley already had a mullet. Did she not?
Yeah, Miley has one. And then Lizzo was like, wow, I just need, like, next all I need is a mullet.
Got it.
Because she was doing the same video as Miley. And Miley says, send me the Addy. I'm on my way to scissor, dot, dot, dot. I mean, with scissors.
That is such a... Well, I mean, it's very, yes, it is very blatantly queer, but the, I feel like she's just trying to make a joke.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. She's not going to go scissor Lizzo.
Maybe she is.
But still.
It's just a strange joke. I think it's strange.
I think that, I mean, I'm definitely here for it. I'm here for, like, I love whenever celebrities interact with each other on social media. Yeah. I find it very fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's still, like, not manufactured yet. Like, yeah. I do believe that Miley's just, like, out there acting like a stupid fucking, like, queer, like, 19-year-old, and I want to preserve that.
Yeah.
Do I think she's going to go scissor Lizzo?
No. Or cut her hair?
But no. Also, the phrase scissor Lizzo rolls right off the tongue.
It actually does.
I got to go scissor Lizzo.
I love how many Z's are in...
Scissor Lizzo.
Yeah.
Yeah. What am I doing later? First of all, I'm going to go snack out with my crack out, and then I'm heading over to go scissor Lizzo.
I like Sizz Liz.
Oh, I got to go Sizz Liz again. She is insatiable.
I love it. Oh, my God.
Wow. Fun.
What do you have for me today?
Well, obviously, I got a queer of the week. We're burning through them, by the way.
I love that. If you guys have any queers of the
week. No, I don't want any more. Don't fucking say that. All I do is sit and look through our DMs, and it's another queer of the week. We got to get on Cameo.
Okay.
For her pleasure.
We'll do Cameo. If you guys want queers of the week, we'll be on Cameo.
Oh, I don't want to set it up. Okay, here we go.
You know I'm going to be the one to set it up. Don't
you don't
even
know how because of your hands. Or should I say where your hands should be? Here we go. You fucking sliced the shit out of your hands.
I did. Do we want to talk about it real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Valentine's Day was this last weekend.
Mm-hmm. We're still recovering physically.
Physically?
My post is just...
tore out.
From the floor out.
So I... My girlfriend got me a very nice box of chocolates. They are my favorites. She bought 2 pounds of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a heart-shaped box within a beautifully wrapped box.
Yeah.
And she gave it to me. I got so fucking excited because I haven't had this kind of candy in a long time. Quality candy. Mm-hmm. Okay. She goes, babe, have one. I got so excited. I shoved my hand into the box and pulled and immediately cut my two main...
Fucking fingers.
Fuck no. Fingers. I cut my two main fingers.
The ones and twos.
Well, actually, technically the ones and three. I cut these two. So this one on the top, which you can see.
And I just want, if you're listening, it looks bad.
It
looks like it's really bad.
And then this one actually hurt more because it was bleeding profusely. It's right on the tip of the finger.
When I look at it, I can feel it in my ribs. Like it hurts my insides.
This one hurt more so. It doesn't look as bad, but this one hurt way more and still does.
And how much blood are we talking?
Gushing down my hand. And I had to wrap it in gauze.
Oh my God.
And then I had to cook it. And it was a fucking mess. And I was too embarrassed to then eat the candy. Because I was like, I felt like a little fat kid.
You had to rummage through it so hard that you just tore your hands up.
I was humiliated.
Oh my God. On Valentine's Day.
For the first 2 days, the 14th and 15th, I only had one chocolate. Because I was so humiliated.
Then could you finger? To be honest, you actually use your hand for sex after that?
No, I immediately said, you're not getting any of this anytime soon. I can't. Look at this.
It's bad.
It's bad.
God, that's so funny. You really, like, I know you're in a relationship now, but the Bumble fumbles live on they in can sit, you.
Yeah, oh, it, daily.
Yeah, you're a fumbler, big time.
I was just listening back to a couple Bumble fumbles because we had to collect some and send them off. And I forgot me biting my tongue before a date and having to go on a date with a swollen tongue with a gash in the middle.
That did make good material, though.
Yeah. I couldn't fucking talk to the girl.
I feel like you're always bleeding on dates. You're always just like drawing blood.
I really am.
Fuck. If you guys have Bumble fumbles, please, you can either type it out to us and email it at twodecksandmike@gmail.com, or feel free, if you'd like to really work through it, you can record yourself on a voice memo and send it to us. Fuck. I'm worried so about good. You.
And if you want, all of those Bumble fumbles and Ask a Dykes that are audio messages are available on our Patreon.
Oh, hell yeah. If you want to go back and listen to, by the way, I used to be a drunk slut and now here I am sober and in love.
I love it.
It's kind of like a success story. They should make a Disney movie out of me.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the queer of the week. Hey, y'all. I just had way too much coffee. Plus, I have anxiety, so now I'm questioning if the DMs are allowed for Queer of the Week or if it's strictly email. God damn, if I'm wrong, I'm so sorry for being the worst. I hate when people don't follow directions. I love this person. I identify with this energy.
I like this a lot.
I definitely like it. Yeah, no, we'll take it anywhere.
Yeah.
And I say that to Nazara right before we fuck every time. I'll take it anywhere. And she goes, you know what? Just pussy as usual. She goes, you don't have to keep saying it.
You don't need to keep. No,
she says,
just,
you don't have to tell me anywhere because it's always going to be the same place. Pussy. Okay, here we go. Queer of the Week. So, anywho, I have a Queer of the Week. I'm nominating my girlfriend of 2+ years. Her name is Topakio, and she's so fucking great and hot and mostly great. Smiley face. She has recently gotten into hiking and camping and outdoorsy shit, which is super gay with a capital G. She drives a Jeep, introduced me to carabiners, and is currently sitting next to me with a beanie. She cooks the most delicious meals and supports me and my anxiety and is my artistic endeavor and all my artistic endeavors constantly. Here we are. We love the podcast and even all the farts. So happy Queer of the Week to you, Topakio. I want to show you, Mackenzie, these pictures. I love when you guys send pictures. Also, thanks for being gay and being the cutest couple. If you made it 2 years or more in a lesbian relationship, you have achieved it.
Yeah. 100%.
If you're in year two,
lesbian years are longer than dog years.
It is unbelievable. You've achieved it. So that's huge. I want you, and I know I say this all the time, this is a freakishly hot couple.
Let me see.
Ba-bam.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Wow. Fuck. Let me tell you what.
I'd
slit my finger all over a box of chocolates for that. So thank you. Happy Queer of the Week to you. And congrats
Queer of the Week
to being
too.
Together. And I love you guys. And I love the anxiety of just being like, I'm going to send an email. And then you send it and you're like, fuck, was this supposed to be a DM?
That's
I love it. So thank you. We love you. Oh my God. This is the last Bumble Fumble I have lined up.
Oh my God.
Which means we need more. If you have Bumble Fumbles, please send them in. We're getting to the end of the pot.
Hello, Rachel and Mackenzie. And my name is spelled wrong.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It always is. It always is. God, it's funny.
I have a Bumble fumble. A couple of years ago, I was going on a lot of Tinder dates and chatting with several ladies at once. I went on 2 first dates in one weekend. Date number one with Alex was just okay. I wasn't really into her, but she lived nearby. Date number 2 with Sarah was 100% my type. Super cute. We had a fun date, but she lived an hour away. The Bumble. I never put either of their names into my phone and just had their numbers. The Fumble. I was texting Sarah later that week and didn't notice that my convo with her had ended and that it was just actually Alex who texted me to ask me if I wanted to hang out that next weekend.
Uh-oh.
I was so surprised that the person I thought was Sarah knew about a local show and was willing to drive all the way to meet me, but didn't think anything else of it. When I arrived at the dinner spot and saw the wrong person sitting at a table, my blood ran ice cold because I was terrified I'd accidentally double booked them. I ended up staying for what turned out to be a nice date. I'm pretty sure I was her first gay kiss.
Oh,
but I could
you
never,
always know.
But I could never shake the feeling of pure, unfiltered whoops. We didn't go on another date, but I did see her, and we eventually avoided eye contact in a parking lot many months later.
Oh, God.
That is so funny.
So she thought it was the other girl and showed up and was like,
yeah, that's a good one. I've never accidentally swapped names or not. I almost immediately put the person's name in or I go up to the top to make sure I know who it is.
Yeah. Like, I've never had this happen before.
Yeah. But when you text somebody, I always go, hi, Rachel, it's Mackenzie from Bumble or whatever. So then when I scroll up, I know who the fuck I'm talking to.
Right, yeah.
You got to have a name put to the phone number.
And I also, I would correlate emojis from which app they're from.
Oh, that's smart.
So I would know.
Yeah.
Fuck!
At least it was a good date, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that you showed up and it still went well and you weren't like, you know, we get some messages and people would have been like, I showed up.
Yeah.
And I started screaming because it was the wrong girl. And I said, you're not her. Yeah. And then anyways, she threw me into a trash. Yeah. And we had sex. And it was bad. She oinked in my mouth.
And then we're 2 years strong.
Now we're 2 years strong. Yeah. So this is like, this is a very cringy bumble fumble because of
it's a whoopsies.
You can feel that in your gut, the whoopsie. But as far as they go, like, I'm glad that it was a good date.
Yeah, overall,
and I do feel like you recovered from it pretty well.
Yeah, oof.
Fuck, though. That's incredible. Hell yeah. Are you ready for the movie?
Yes. This week, we did a movie that you picked that is on HBO Max.
And let me just say, it came into my life because I watched this Valentine's Day weekend with my lover.
Yeah.
It was on HBO and I'm all over it. It's called There's No I in Threesome. Uh-huh. And I read the synopsis and it just said that it says, so before tying the knot, Ollie and Zoe want to try something new. And I think on the synopsis that I read, it said there's a, like, you won't expect the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, interesting. And it's billed as a documentary.
Yeah.
And it, you know,
yeah,
it's about a couple, Ollie and Zoe, and they decide they're engaged. They're a couple that's engaged. They're long distance. And before they get married, they want to explore polyamory.
Yeah.
And that is the documentary.
Yes. So we start out with them making rules. They set rules for themselves because they have about 12, a little under 12 months till they get married. Mm-hmm. So this is almost like they each have a hall pass until they get married. That's their final cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're married, they expect to be fully monogamous.
Which in concept is not anything that I've seen before.
I agree.
And not, I know people that are polyamorous that are in open relationships, and that is not how they approach it.
Yes.
I've never seen it done like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that, I immediately was like, this is a red flag for me.
Yes, it was a huge red flag.
As something that seems very strange. And I was like, I'm clocking it.
Because in their explanation was for him, for Ollie, that he wanted to sow his wild oats. He said, I never had my crazy 20s. So I want to do it before I settle down with her.
And also Ollie identifies as a bisexual.
Correct.
And he wants to explore men.
Yes.
And,
but he's like, I love her. This is my soulmate.
And I have seen this a lot where I see a straight presenting couple who maybe the girl never got to experiment with her bisexuality and wants to bring a woman in. And I've also seen that portrayed more where they want to date women on their own outside of their husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, or fiance or boyfriend or whatever, where they're like, this is something that you can't give me because you are a man.
Yeah.
And I would really like to explore that because that's a part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go date women.
Yeah.
And it has a little less to do with sexual gratification and more so with exploring relationships with women.
Right.
And you see it less because there's more strict rules around bisexuality of men, which I hate and would love to see it broken down. But you don't see it as much. But basically what I got from this documentary was that he wants to explore sleeping with men.
Correct.
And I'm like, I fucking love that. Let's go on board. But what happens is when they're explaining the rules to us.
Yes. So they sit down in a tent and they're going over the main rules. They have pretty much three main rules.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is that they come first.
Yeah.
I believe.
That they're like, the love for each other, our relationship comes first.
We always come first.
And I think the second one
was that you can only sleep with the same sex.
Right. Which, while they're explaining it, Zoe is like, well, I've already broken that a bunch.
Yeah, so she immediately has broken the second cardinal rule of their agreement.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating as a viewer to be like, okay, so why would we the stakes aren't really high anymore because their relationship is already has these cracks in it.
Well, and it also, the timeline gets weird because when they're describing the rules to us, they had clearly already started this journey.
Yeah.
So it's confusing because...
And broken them.
Ollie, Ollie is a filmmaker.
Right.
So he is the one who has the camera. He's in charge. He's made multiple films. He's always recording. So I was like... Timeline wise, if you're editing this movie, why are you showing us the rules when you're in the middle of it? Like, that was already confusing for me. And also another red flag where we're like,
you're telling us
the rules and you broke them.
Yeah.
Great. And also, as a queer person watching this, I was very excited to see this heteronormative presenting couple both do their queer sex thing.
Yeah.
And I was like really interested in the polyamory of it all, really, because I'm like, I find that very interesting. And I think it's also like what it is, though, is he's monogamous.
Yeah.
He's very clearly monogamous.
Yeah.
And he's trying on this hat of like bisexual polyamory.
Right.
In the bounds of like, it's only temporary, right? It felt like a seedy little tourist.
It felt false.
Right.
Yes.
Which we will get to. But it was pretty strange. We also watch him go on a date.
Which immediately he's filming this date with a man and he goes, can I film you? While already filming.
Right.
And the guy's like, no.
He would, the amount of times this filmmaker would walk into a room and be like, do you mind if I film you when he's walking in? I mean, it was very strange.
It was strange and I don't like the way he went about it. And that frustrated me a lot with him. In fact, I hated both of these characters immensely.
Absolutely. And this is the issue is that I do feel like a lot of people who are in polyamorous or non-monogamous relationships, they do have a bad rep. They have like, I think there is like a street joke that goes around. They're like, why are the people that are always poly so ugly? And it is like frustrating because like this is just... another group of people that are just being like shat on by mainstream, you know, society. Yeah. So when I'm like, great, we have an HBO documentary about it and we're watching it and they're like aggressively white and aggressively unlikable. And they only date also other white and aggressively unlikable people.
Yes. I couldn't believe how much I hated these characters.
Oh God. Everything about them was freakishly unlikable.
And immediately...
Definitely the beta of the relationship.
He was.
Was always the victim. Was almost like didn't want to be a part of this. Was pleasing her. And she was like an unrealistically like cruel person.
So that's what I wanted to talk about is when he is Skyping her or Zooming, whatever. And she's actually, he's watching her have sex with another man.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets up after coming and walks away. And he's like, hey.
To the guy.
To the guy. Just trying to like make small talk.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, stop talking. Like he's trying to like relax after having sex.
Insane.
And it's just so frustrating to watch these two people treat each other like shit.
It doesn't even make sense. And I'm all for like, obviously if you're in a non-monogamous relationship, there has to be clear boundaries, communication, trust.
Yes.
This couple had none of it. And they tried to overcompensate by like, how about I Skype in while you fuck another guy? And it was very, very, very strange. And it didn't make any sense. And we're watching him, obviously he's not comfortable. His feelings are hurt. It's very weird.
He's on the verge of tears multiple times.
And he shows that he, as the filmmaker, shows, I would say, two scenes that I thought were like freakishly intimate and unnecessary. Mm-hmm. The one being the scene that we were just talking about, which is he's zooming in and watching them fuck, which I was like, I can't believe you're showing us this part when we don't get anything else shown. Like there's a lot of things that are withheld.
Yeah.
But this is what like there, we never see them have any conversations about their actual plan, goals, commitments, relationship.
Yeah.
We see none of it. We get that one half conversation where the rules are already broken.
Yeah.
Then we see him watching through Skype, his girlfriend have sex with somebody else.
Yeah.
And was obviously really hurt by it.
Yeah.
And then we also see him giving himself an enema fully. Yeah. Giving himself an enema.
Preparing for, they finally are having a threesome eventually.
Yes.
With his new girlfriend. So.
I jumped ahead.
Yeah. So let's jump back. So she finds a guy that she starts dating, which is the director of a play she's in.
Yeah. Which.
Is insane. And she is starting to call him her boyfriend, which is another rule that they're breaking.
Yeah.
They eventually are starting to say I love yous to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Ollie is clearly frustrated by this, but he also, I think, to compensate for this lack of, he's losing a piece of her.
Yep.
His girlfriend or his fiance. He finds a girlfriend too. So now they are both engaged and both dating two other people at the same time.
Calling them boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yes.
And he's doing it out of spite, clearly. And she's being disrespectful and not following the rules that they had set up.
Yeah.
So, and also, by the way, both of them, I, as a queer person watching this, thought I was going to see queer threesomes.
Yes.
The movie is called There's No I in Threesome.
There was literally never a threesome shown.
Never shown, which is also like, once again, we're showing, I can see a guy fucking a girl and another guy watching in a Skype.
Yeah.
And I can watch a guy fully giving himself an enema in a tub. But you're not willing to show me any
hookup.
No queerness in it at all, which was like, whole point of it was, for me, I'm like, I was really excited to watch this man really explore his bisexuality.
You never see
it. And this, like, I'm really looking for, like, a queerness in this dynamic of a traditional heteronormative, like, you know, engagement.
Yeah.
And to not show it at all was, like,
the closest you get is showing three people dancing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why the fuck is this?
It makes no sense. She's falling in love with the director of her play. He is, like, spite dating a girl who's, like, seems to be the only one who actually understands how polyamory functions, which was insane to me.
Yes. So Zoe comes and meets his new girl.
Mm-hmm.
They have a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes, meets her new director boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They go out. They all get drunk. They come home. They kind of have, they have a threesome.
They have a threesome.
But then he wakes up the next morning. They are already having sex with each other. And then they go to the shower, to which he's saying.
And then he does a self-interview where he's recording himself afterwards.
On the verge of tears.
Yeah, he seems like a battered wife.
Yes, because he's like, my fiance is fucking this other guy and breaking every single rule we've set up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very obvious this woman that he loves is falling for another man.
Yeah. It was super, super weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also, I was also really sad that that was his exploration of his bisexuality was having, like, he also was describing that he's like, I took off the condom because it was the only control that I had left.
Yeah.
And it was like, he didn't even get to explore that bisexuality. He is a broken man who's following through on something that he doesn't want to be a part of and also is being cheated on emotionally and he's in the room. So that was sad. And also he shot it like this confessional that was so depressing and like very, 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 the whole thing was off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we get it. The big twist at the end is that they break up.
Yeah.
They obviously break up over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, Zoe tells him that she's in love with her boyfriend and that she's like, it's not working. I'm not in love with you. And he's like, when did it change? And she was like, when I started falling in love with this new guy, which, by the way, this is not how polyamory should be working.
No.
This is not how it works at all. This is actually the opposite and maybe the worst example I have ever seen in anything.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah. Of ever.
So the big twist was that it wasn't, the footage we were seeing was all manipulated.
Staged.
So it was, the woman who we thought was his fiance was actually an actress
that he had cast.
Yes. So the entire thing is he 5 years ago had been working on this movie with his girlfriend or his fiance, the actual Zoe, which is what we'll call her. And she did leave him and then chose to not let herself be in the movie.
Yes.
She was like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I want to go live with this guy who I have fallen in love with.
And he was like, oh no, not only is my relationship over, my movie's over.
Yeah.
And instead of scrapping the project and learning from it, he decides to recast and reshoot through his point of view
the entire thing.
All of the experiences that had happened up until that point, which fully explains why this movie is unwatchable, unrealistic, and horrible.
Unrealistic is the biggest thing.
We watched a guy. I remember watching it thinking like, why do I hate this woman? Why is she? I'm like, that's so, I'm like, she's either the worst woman in the world or I'm like watching a fabrication of some like a two-dimensional version of a woman. And it's seems, like, oh, that's because that's what it is.
Yeah, it seems staged from the jump because she was so awful.
She was so awful
and
that it's like,
he painted himself as a victim the entire time.
Yes. And he, that's the thing. We're watching somebody's breakup fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, when you're dumped and you're like, you rewrite everything so that yes. They're the asshole and you were the pure one who the whole time just loved her and then she left and fell in love with somebody else and now you're the broken one. You're the hero. Mm-hmm. And we watched that breakup fantasy through his own documentary that he recast his girlfriend and then directed it to meet his memories, which is pain and hurt and, you know, not necessarily what actually happened. And that's how I'm like, he shouldn't be allowed to do that.
He shouldn't be allowed to do that. But I also think that he shouldn't be allowed to call this anything near polyamory. What you're doing is fully, I mean, it's a train wreck of a relationship that I don't know. I just fucking hated this.
Oh, it was so unwatchable. And he tries to have this moment of redemption where he goes, I realized that throughout this movie, when I rewatched it, that I made myself the victim and I actually had some flaws myself. And he shows about a 20-second clip of him putting work first was his flaw, by the way, was his only flaw.
Right.
And he thinks I can feel that he thinks that he's redeemed himself because he is actualized and he realizes what he did wrong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make up for 90 minutes of you turning an actual woman into this character of an asshole and being like, no, it's fine. She left me on the top dive while I jumped in. I mean, it was fucking unacceptable. This whole movie
was
a fantasy of a guy working through a breakup that somehow HBO bought and packaged to us as an exploration of polyamory
and
as
queerness.
A documentary and queerness. And none of it was true.
It is not a doc.
Inappropriate.
Yes. And it makes poly people look bad.
It was
and
offensive.
That's what made me so upset.
Absolutely.
It made not only queer people, but poly people especially, it made them look like fools.
Yeah. And it's also like, it is trying to like, I'm like, it did the exact opposite of what a documentary about non-monogamy should do.
Yeah.
It doesn't teach you anything. And it reaffirms the values of monogamy that we're seeing in mainstream stuff, which is straightness, which is whiteness, which is like monogamy, exclusivity. And it was like, you know what happens? The lesson of the movie, by the way, is if you try to let your girlfriend open up their relationship, they're going to cheat on you and fall in love with a guy with a motorcycle. That's the fucking point of the movie. And it was pathetic.
And it's not a doc. That's what upsets me so much is that everything was staged. The entire thing was staged.
And by the way, not even staged well.
I was really furious about this movie. And I think it does a disservice to poly people and queer people.
If I was poly watching this, I'm already furious and I identify as somebody who is monogamous, but it is like a slap in the, it is like offensive and should not. I mean, I'll tell you what though. I was entertained and I didn't see the twist coming, but I hate watched it. It's rageful. Yeah. It is like not, it shouldn't be what people are watching.
I agree. How many gloves would you give it?
0.4.
I think 0.4 is excellent. I think that's perfect. That's what I would give it. I think this is a trash movie.
I think it's offensive to women as well.
Yeah. I think this movie's bad and you see dick for no reason. You see, I was like, he didn't need to give himself an enema.
No.
Why did we see that?
It makes absolutely
no
sense.
The fact that was staged. That was an actress he hired.
Yep.
That he, with this actress, gave himself a naked enema in a bathtub. Yep. Why?
No, I don't know. And
why?
That's the thing. And I'm really sick of this theme where we're in movies
forced
to see like extreme intimacy and graphic stuff. And then when it comes to just basic intimacy of queerness, it is completely left out.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Even like, I have no idea. I'm like left with a huge question mark on like why this, I know why it was made because he's a narcissist and he thought he learned a lesson and like, LOL,
you
really need to like go back and kind of maybe work through it with a therapist. But I have no idea how this was made and put on HBO and promoed. Like, I don't know how I ended up watching it. And it should have been kept in film school or some, I'm not sure.
I couldn't agree more with you.
But it was trash.
Yeah, it's bad. What do we have next week?
Next week, you're going to review the book.
Middlesex. Booyah. It's going to get pushed every week.
Maybe it won't.
Maybe it
won't. If it doesn't, I'm going to not watch the movie.
Okay.
But if we do watch the movie, it's going to be The Roommate.
Okay.
But if we don't, you're doing the book review.
That's been it this week for Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
And I'm Rachel Scanlon. Go do something gay today. I love you.
We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin. Rachel Scanlon. Worldwide Dykes for Life.